following is a recording for Rafael Bora of iAdvise on Friday, April 28, 2017 at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is the UniFin First Quarter 2017 conference call. Good morning, and welcome to UniFin's First Quarter 2017 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. And at that time, instructions will be given as the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, Katie, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to UniFin Financiera's earnings call. This morning, UniFin's senior management team will discuss the company's first quarter 2017 consolidated results per the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact the investor relations team at UniFin or contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3691 to obtain a copy immediately. Prior to introducing our management, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call. These do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. We are very pleased to have with us today from UniFin, Mr. Sergio Camacho, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Pernas, Investor Relations Officer. Thank you for your attention. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Sergio Camacho for his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. When we last spoke during the fourth quarter call, the international markets were experiencing an uncertain political and macroeconomic environment, and Mexico was not exception. As such, we are somehow cautious about what 2017 will look like in terms of investment into Mexico and consumer confidence. However, we were certain that UniFin was well equipped to handle most situations and mitigate any long-term impact. Sure enough, while the years started on a shaky ground and some volatility, we perceive a recovery beginning with a gradual rebounding of the Mexican peso and renewed consumer confidence. The firm measures that were taken by Mexico's central bank, including an increase in the 2017 reference rate, were also fundamental in the process. As a result of this and other several positive signals, we saw a favorable response from our customers in terms of more affirmative decisions towards new business, particularly by the end of the quarter, as you can see in the results for the period. During the first quarter, we strengthened our credit and risk management approach across our acceptance and origination process. In addition, we have maintained an strict expense control policy that has rendered extraordinary results in operating efficiency. As such, total revenues for the quarter increased 38% compared to the same period of the previous year. There was also a 22% increase in the nominal financial margin, and operating expenditures as a percentage of total revenues improved to 7.2% from 9.7% in the first quarter of last year. Operating income rose by 29% to 413 million pesos, resulting in net income from the quarter of 303 million, a 19% increase. The company total assets reached 43.1 billion, 54% higher than the comparable period, while the total portfolio rose by 51% compared to the previous year. All of this was achieved while maintaining an NPL of only 0.7%, clear evidence of the company capacity to preserve growth in a healthy and prudent manner. During the quarter, there was no specific debt activity at UniFin as we were building up a new leasing portfolio securitization that took place in April. As explained in our press release, this issuance of 3 billion pesos consisted of two tranches. The first tranche of 1.5 billion was at a fixed rate of 9.7%, and the second tranche of 1.5 billion was a floating rate of TIIE plus 210 basis points. With this transaction, the company improved its exposure to floating rates and enhanced its debt maturity profile. it is important to highlight that this is the largest leasing securitization carried out in the Mexican market to date and was oversubscribed more than two times. Moving on to Unifin results, revenues rose to 2.7 billion pesos, which represented an increase of over 38%. This was comprised of increases in operating lease income of 41% and a 26% income increase compared to the first quarter of last year. In terms of other lease benefits, they rose by 6%, mainly due to asset transfers. Interest expense rose 99% for the quarter, linked to the company's higher financial liabilities that were required to supporting operating volume increases. There was also reference rate increases of 275 bps over the last 12 months, representing approximately 27% of the total interest expense growth. Also, the increase in interest expense is in direct correlation to the company's prudent risk management approach in terms of the financial debt. Due to the debt profile enhancement and the company fixed rate debt, funding costs have been impacted in the short term. However, these initiatives have shielded Unifin from the impact of further interest rate increases, thus reducing volatility in the long term. Other leasing expenses declined by 45% due to the scheduled asset transfers. Depreciation of assets under lease at the end of the first quarter reached 1.3 billion, a 29% increase compared to the same period of 2016. This increase was directly related to the overall growth in the leasing portfolio. Unifin nominal financial margin rose 22% year over year and represented a 23.6% of total revenue. Administrative and promotional expenses declined to 7.2% of total revenues compared to 9.7% in the first quarter of 2016. This overall decrease was a direct result of the company's strict cost control policies, which have generated significant savings and raised efficiency of Unifin's operating structure. Thus, operating income reached 413 million pesos, which was 29% higher than the figure reported in the first quarter of last year, reaching consolidated net income of 303 million pesos, which is 19% higher than the comparable period. Continuing to the balance sheet items, the total loan portfolio reached 31 billion pesos, 51% higher year over year. Current loan portfolio was 9.1 billion. Non-performing loans were 213 million and off-balance sheet accounts were 21.7 billion. The past due loan portfolio was 213 million for an NPL ratio of 0.7% at the close of the first quarter. As always, Unifin considers financial health to be an utmost priority. Total assets were 43.1 billion. A 54% increase compared to the period ended in March 2016, and was mainly due to the total net portfolio growth and net fixed assets, along with the liquidity and active portion of the derivatives with hedging costs. Financial liabilities rose 50% to 31.5 billion at the end of the period. This increase was mainly attributed to the growth of operations in conjunction with the fluctuation of the US dollar to Mexican peso exchange rate, which affected the balance sheet, particularly related to the senior notes issued by the company. Debt maturity profile reached a weighted average of 38 months at the close of the first quarter. It is important to highlight that after the above-mentioned market securitization, Unifin weighted average maturity went to 42 months, vis-a-vis 34 months on our portfolio. The securitization of the company leasing portfolio are considered non-recourse financing. During the first quarter of 2017, we enhanced Unifin debt profile as you reviewed in the quarterly report, not just by extending the maturity, but also by fixing the rate for a substantial amount of the total debt as follows. As of March 31st of this year, 38% of our total debt is fixed, versus 10% reported at the end of the same period in 2016. This mitigates any impact of a rising reference rate. Additionally, it is important to note that only 37% of our debt remains variable, compared to 55% during the first quarter of last year, since 25% of our floating TIIE debt is capped at a 7.25% for a total of a 63% fixed rate debt. Total liabilities reached 37.8 billion, a 60% increase compared to the first quarter of 2016. By the end of this quarter, total liabilities included the provision related to the declared dividend, which was paid 2 days ago. During the quarter, the stockholders' equity increased by 22% to $5.3 billion and was a result of the company's ability to generate consistent profits. In terms of financial ratios, return on average assets at the close of this quarter was 3.3%, while return on average equity was 24.5%. Unifin capitalization ratio was 12.3% at the close of this quarter, compared to 13.2% at the close of last year. This is mainly due to the operating asset growth in addition to the impact of 50 bps from the dividend payment. Unifin financial leverage ratio increased to 3.8 times at the close of the first quarter, compared to 2.7 times at the close of last year, of the first quarter of last year. The company total leverage ratio was 5 times. Moving to our operational results, Unifin continued to originate new business across its three business lines: leasing, factoring, and auto loans. Once again, and despite the macroeconomic and political environment, Unifin's solid results were driven by Mexico's resilient and strong SME sector. I want to mention also that, similar to prior quarters, Unifin approved an average below 40% of client applications. We expect additional portfolio growth generated from our excellent track record in delivering financial solutions to our clients, our strong backlog, the opportunities identified by our business intelligence team, and the networking abilities of our more than 200 sales office representatives. By the end of the first quarter, Unifin achieved a healthy and diversified portfolio. The company has more than 7,000 clients, none of which represents over 1.3% of the total portfolio. Similar to prior quarters, 80% of our clients have approved credit lines for up to 7.5 million pesos. The client breakdown by region is spread across diverse economic and geographic sectors, while notably a larger proportion is located in the fast-growing metropolitan areas of Mexico City and Monterrey. As a wrap-up, as you may see from our report, despite all the challenges that 2017 may throw our way, Unifin remains a profitable, solid, healthy company, and we remain optimistic for the results for the remainder of the year. We will continue our growth at a healthy rate and in the prudent manner that we are known for, continuing our endeavor to strengthen our presence in the Mexican market. With this, we will now open the floor for your questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may press star two. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Frederick DeMars from UBS.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call, for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. The first one on growth. Could you go into a bit more details in terms of what you're seeing, especially now that we are at the end of April already, from your clients? We remember that January and February were a bit slower, so I just wanted to hear from you what you're seeing with your clients and how conservative or aggressive you're feeling, and if you have any data on your backlog. The second question has to do with margins. We saw a bit of compression and also all the good steps you took in terms of changing and improving the profile of funding. I was curious to hear from you what you expect in terms of the TA and in terms of funding costs for this year. Are you planning to do anything else in terms of changing the profile of funding? And when do you think you will reach the trough in terms of margins? When do you think we will be at the minimum level? Thank you.
Hi, Federico, and thank you for being in the call with us today. Regarding the growth expectation, as we mentioned, of course, we start the year on a lot of uncertainty. As long as we went through the quarter, we start to see a recovery, and particularly March was a very good month. What I can tell you regarding April is that we're continuing seeing strong demand from our customers. We have what I would say a very strong backlog that is ranging from 40 billion to 50 billion. So we are positive on the growth. Of course, we are cautious. Just recapping over the last 2 days, there was a lot of volatility out there. But at the end, I think that both countries are aware that NAFTA is good for everybody. Of course, needs to be renegotiated. And as long as more SME entrepreneurs are aware of that, I think the clouds that they see on the environment are gonna be clean, and they will start being more optimistic about the future. And late data that we have seen on GDP and expectations is on that track. On the funding, of course, we have seen the tremendous and sudden growth on the reference rate, particularly on TIIE, and of course that has had an impact on Unifin. As long as we start to see these trends, we decided on a very prudent way to start fixing our rates, and the more debt that we can raise under fixed rates, the better. And that has been the case, and you can see that on our debt profile. We will continue working on that. We believe that the best way to provide certainty to our investors is reducing the volatility that we may have on our results, and that's what we're intending to do. Of course, we're very close to our origination rate, and always trying to maintain the balance between them. Just to remind you, starting January the 1st, we increased our origination rate 200 basis points. I will say that we have seen so far the minimum level. Now we are starting a process, or let's say, in which we are recuperating, and as long as we are capable of doing this catch-up of these new origination rates, we are going to start seeing some improvements in our margins. Notwithstanding that, if in the next month we decided to issue debt, we're going to be focusing on issuing at a fixed rate, and of course that has an impact, a negative impact on our funding costs. But we believe that, of course, this is for the short term, and we are confident that this is the best way to work under this environment with a lot of volatility.
That's great. That's very, very helpful. Would you expect another increase in the TIIE rate, and how much, and when?
I think that the consensus on the market now is perhaps for another 25 to 50 basis points, but no one is thinking more beyond that. The latest report that we have heard, because we always try to see what the analysts are saying about that, they may be saying that, well, the latest consensus is about this between 25 to 50 bps on the third quarter of the year. Of course, we're going to be very dependent on that information, and as long as we start to see more likelihood that happens, we may take some internal decisions that may lead us to raise our origination rate if needed.
That's great. So considering the 25 to 50 basis points increase in TIIE, and also considering the increase of 200 basis points in January on the origination side, you believe 1Q was the trough for margins. Is that correct?
Perhaps 1Q and the second Q would also be difficult, but starting on the third quarter, we may start to see some recovery.
That's great. That's great. Many thanks for this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding your capitalization ratio, your equity to asset ratio. It came down significantly this quarter. I know part of that is related to the payment of the dividend, but I think it's coming a little bit faster than I had expected, of course, because also of the high growth of the lease portfolio. What expectations do you have for this ratio by the end of the year, and what level are you comfortable with? I think the minimum that you have to maintain is a 9.5. So depending on your answer, are you thinking about any actions to strengthen that capitalization ratio this year? Thanks.
Sure. Hi, Carlos, and thank you for being at the call. Yes, I mean we saw the decline on the capitalization ratio. It's somehow explained by the dividends that we paid. Expectation for the year is that we may be ending around 12% by the end of this year, considering the growth that we have internally forecasted. Now, besides that, we feel comfortable at those rates, as you well mentioned. The minimum that we are required is 9.5 or 10%. So, but of course, management, particularly Rodrigo and Luis, are continuously evaluating possibilities to do a follow-on. I don't know what to put a time frame on that, because it will depend, of course, on the multiples that Unifin will be trading at that particular time. But, of course, senior management is aware of that. Once again, we feel comfortable at this 12% ratio.
So just a follow-up there. So you say that by the end of the year, you see this ratio at 12%, so only 30 basis point decline?
Yes, because as long as there's going to be like a catch-up between all the net income that we will be generating throughout the year and, of course, the origination that we are forecasting. No?
Okay.
Let's say that we have an extraordinary impact on the first quarter because of the dividend, no? If not, the capitalization should have been 12.8, no?
Okay. All right. Understood. Thank you. My second question would be regarding the new securitizations that you are issuing. For the portion that is variable rate, the 1.5 billion of the new 3 billion securitization, are you hedging that exposure as well now? And if you are doing so, at what rate of TIIE are you being able to lock at this point?
We just hedged that 2 hours ago. We just picked that variable portion of that securitization. And what I can tell you is that it was done below 10% at a fixed rate for the next 5 years.
Okay. So even though the outlook, or at least the consensus for rates in Mexico, is to finally start coming down probably next year or 2019, given the prudent stance of Unifin, you would consider still hedging of these exposures?
Yes, because... Yes, we're thinking more on the long term, and when I'm referring to long term, I'm talking about a time frame between 5 to 10 years. And there may be a lot of things happening out there, as you are aware. We're going to be having election next year, and that may put some noise to the market. In addition, even though now the mood is better, we just saw 30 cents on the peso depreciation with a tweet, no? So we continue to see a lot of volatility, and since Unifin is here for the long term, for the long run, and for sustainable profit, I think, and we're confident that this is the best way to operate.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from David Carmano from Citigroup.
Hi, and congratulations for the results. I just have a question regarding your ability to pass rate increases to clients. Do you think that competition lately has become a deterrent to doing this?
I mean, we respect a lot of our competition. We are aware that there's a lot of people trying to mimic Unifin model, but that's part of the success. We have, as we mentioned, more than 200 sales representatives that are close to their clients, are close to their needs. And if you recall, we have a business intelligence department here that is always looking for new growth opportunities. So that gives us, I would say, a competitive and strategic advantage. Of course, we are very sensitive on what of our customers are willing to say. We are not expecting to see a higher pressure given the low penetration that the leasing has in the Mexican market. There continues to be a lot of opportunities out there. If you see how leasing is penetrated vis-a-vis some other financial instruments in the Mexican market, and nevertheless, the benefit that the leasing represents to our customer, I think we are in a good shape. Of course, once again, we are close to our client, but so far, when we implement these 200 basis points increase in our origination, we didn't perceive significant slowdown on the demand attributable to the increase in the rates. The slowdown was driven more by people delaying a little bit their decision just because of the uncertainty that they saw and experienced in their particular businesses by the beginning of the first quarter.
Okay, that was helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luis Adimi from Newfoundland Capital Management.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering about the tax rate. There was an increase this quarter. Could you just give us a little more color or explain the reasons for the increase and what should we expect for the full year? What do you expect for the full year?
Hi, Luis. Thank you for the question. Yes, the change is basically, if you recall last year when we did our repurchase of the outstanding debt, we were forced to pay a premium for repurchasing that, and that premium is tax deductible. So that benefit a lot our effective tax rate last year. If you recall, on the last call that we had, we said that we were expecting, of course, a higher tax rate for this year, and that was the case. This quarter, we have an effective tax rate of 27%, and we expect that to continue for the rest of the year.
Makes sense. And also, you mentioned that March was a good month. There was a very slight increase in NPLs. How is asset quality behaving? And how do you expect it to behave for the rest of the year?
We are very close to those numbers. Senior management is very deeply involved in that. And what I can tell is that we are, as you recall through the speech, we said that we were strengthening our risk management approach. And that also consists in enhancing and improving our collection department. Once I say that, we are expecting to see that the same similar number throughout the year, because that's part of the strategy of Unifin. That's part of its core, to focus from the origination, so to originate well, and therefore to continue having these low NPL numbers.
Makes sense. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, we are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov from Morgan Stanley.
Hi there. Quick question about capital again. Less than a year ago, you communicated that you intend to keep capital in the 13% to 17% range. Early on the call, you said that capital is it's already outside of that range and expected to kind of gradually decline to about 12% at year end. Is that range that you gave us kind of out of date now? And if you can give us a new range, where you think that capital will be, or what levels you feel comfortable at? Thank you.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for being in the call. The company, I mean, once that we start to saw the tremendous growth that we have posted over the last 12 to 18 months, we start to see and analyze what will be a good number regarding capitalization. We know, and that can be viewed as a stress number, the 10%, and because that's also on our covenant. But the 12% continues to be a good number, and I will say an efficient number. So if we see that this in terms of efficiency, we are more efficient right now than when we were 1 year ago. Once I say that, of course, and as previously explained, the company is always analyzing what can be a very good window of opportunity to doing a follow-on or to doing a capital injection to the company. Answering the question regarding what will be a good range, I would say that a range around 12% continues to be a good range for us. Of course, we are more close to the 10%, but we continue to feel comfortable with that.
Got it. Have you had any discussions with the rating agencies? Because obviously they're, you know, watching your capital and your leverage very closely.
The discussions with the rating agency, we just had that 1 month ago, are in the same tenor. They will say something below 10%. At this level, they are okay with it. Since, of course, there are some other things that they see regarding our financial health, regarding our how strong is our balance sheet, so forth, so on. So, yes, we just had that discussion about 1 month ago, and that's why I'm also very confident to say that we are comfortable with the 12%.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We are now holding for questions. Again, that is star 1 for questions. At this time, I am showing no further questions in the queue. I'll now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Camacho for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Once again, thank you all for being and for your interest at Unifin. Once again, I will just want to say that we continue to be very positive on Mexico. We continue to be very positive on the SME sector. There's a lot of opportunity out there. Of course, those opportunities are going to be even better analyzed, no, with strengthening our risk management approach. But we are confident that Unifin is going to be posting good numbers for this year. Thank you all, and see you in the next call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.